It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been chilly, been cloudy this whole week, but we're used to it. Doesn't really matter. And we're glad to have summer postponed a little bit because summer is the hardest time for Lutherans, the summer vacations. So it's a great suffering, misery over the years, because we are brought up that when people ask us, what do you want to do? Where would you like to go? We are trained to answer by reflex, wherever you would like to go, we say. It makes no difference. We enjoy whatever we can do. And so you have a whole bunch of people who are passing on this, and somebody decides, and they just decide on something, and there you go, the person who could be happy either way, and you spend 2 weeks on the fringe of hell, absolute suffering, and you come back and miserable, and you resolve now to be a better person, which actually you already are. So what did it get you? Not a whole lot. Glad to have spring extend on for a little while and get some more rain here. We're in the midst of a drought. School came to an end this week, Thursday night was graduation, and all of the kids came. The class of 2013, they marched in between the goalposts onto the football field, three rows of folding chairs there at about the 10-yard line. And all the parents stood up, and there were little pin pricks of light, flash bulbs all over. People who you hadn't seen weep in years, if ever, were standing there dabbing at their eyes, just overwhelmed by emotion. It was like prisoners of war being released from the camp. And the thing is that the parents are the prisoners, and filed on to Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance, and they took their place there and sat down, and the superintendent, Mr. Halverson, took his place there on the podium. Every year, for years and years, the seniors have played some imaginative practical joke, and so Mr. Halverson was on the watch for it, and all of the teachers as well, watching for bulges in people's pockets or any signs of suspicious activity, which when you are around 17 and 18-year-old people, everything is suspicious. But they think back on all of those years and the years when the hydrogen sulfide was released there on the stage and the terrible smell that was. And just as Mr. Halverson was bending forward to pick up something, and you think of the year when the brake on his lectern on the wheels was released and he leaned forward and off the platform it went, you think about the year when many of the graduating class had little buzzers in their hands when they came up to shake his hand. Then there was the year of the pig manure, and there was the year when during his speech the sound of a woman sighing in ecstasy was heard over the public address system. So he was waiting. The valedictorian was a shy young man who stood about 18 inches away from the microphone, and people, as he delivered his speech, people tried to respond and laugh and clap. And then they gave him a standing ovation at the end, lest he think that we could not hear what he had to say, which we could not. There was no practical joke, and everybody filed away, and everybody got into their cars, and Mr. Halverson got into his car. And he turned the key, and that's when the rockets went off under the hood. The car just seemed to levitate in the air. And he sprang out. He just, one leap, and he was 50 feet away. It was a memorable, emotional evening. And the next day, the seniors came to school, and they gathered. They sat in the halls and signed each other's yearbooks, and they felt this bond which they had not felt before, this powerful bond between classmates, which, being who they are and coming from where they come from, they're unable to express to each other, which makes it all the more powerful. I felt this too, this bond with classmates. My classmate Fred Petters, who, when I started doing this show, sent me a letter and said, "We listened to most of the show Saturday night and we liked a lot of it. And hope that you did too, because it all seemed to go pretty good. And we think that you ought to think about doing this sort of thing in the future." Self-deprecating people, my people, so self-deprecating, and they extend this privilege to others. All these people I went to school with who saw me in all of these moments, they saw me stand up in English class and talk in a sort of general way about a book that I had not read. They saw me stand at a math problem at the blackboard, a problem I could not begin to understand. They were there, the boys were there, the first time in a locker room when I stripped naked and took showers with other people, a memorable time in a person's life coming from a family of very discreet people. The time when I was kicked out of shop class, I had flunked plywood, I had flunked ball-peen hammer, and now I flunked sheet metal. I was unable to complete my flower scoop because I'd been talking in class, which you were told not to do, and I sat down on a shop bench, which you shouldn't do, and there was acid there, and it ate through my pants, and they had to put an apron on me backwards. And I was sent up to Miss Pearson's speech class, since I talked all the time. And up in speech class, I met this most beautiful woman, this perpetually smiling, cheerful, encouraging goddess. And when I stood up to speak, I looked past my classmates who were rolling their eyes and crossing their eyes and pulling long, invisible strings of snot out of their nostrils. And I looked at her. She stood smiling in the back of the room. And I recited, "Loveliest of trees, the cherry now is hung with bloom along the bough. It stands along the woodland ride, wearing white for Eastertide. Now of my 80 years, 20 will not come again." I recited the whole poem. I still feel this bond with my classmates, even though it's shocking for me to see the ravages of age in their faces while I go on being 18 years old perpetually. Nonetheless, I wanted to talk about this the one time that I was invited to give the graduation speech at Lake Wobegon High School. I wanted to say this. I wanted to say, this is your tribe. These are your people. You come from these people. And even though it makes you uneasy to belong as much as you do, nonetheless, you belong here. You cannot create your own tribe just by imagination, though you will attempt this. You'll try to join a tribe that is cooler and that's smarter or taller or more beautiful, but these are your people and you will keep coming back to them if only in your dreams. I meant to say this And I did not. I talked about success instead. I don't know why. The worst subject to bring up. And I talked too long. And after I was done, and after graduation was over, and before 100 frogs were released by the graduates, Mr. Halverson said to me, "It's so hard to get a really good commencement speaker nowadays." I wish I had told them how much you will love these people. You don't think so now, but you will. These are your people. I saw this so clearly just the other day in St. Paul. I was walking down the street and I saw a whole crowd of children waiting for a yellow bus, children with knapsacks waiting to go off to camp. And the counselors were there and their mothers were there. And it was so clear because I have been one of those geeky children, and I have been one of those counselors who were so cool, so cool. And I am a parent, and so I've known the trauma of putting your child on a bus for the first time. And are those wheels attached? Should we check those lug nuts? There are no seat belts on this bus. Should I go home? Should I get some clothesline? What should I do? What can I do? And the counselor standing there, so cool, so totally cool. Can we trust our children to these? No, we cannot. But what do we do? The children there trying to be brave. There it is. All in one tableau, the three strings of life, the three main strands of life, the cluelessness and the defenselessness and the helpless devotion, all three. We belong in one group or the other. You see this in person, and the only thing you can say is just, "Lord, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy on all of us." That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.